You're listening to Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. It's 8 o'clock. It's the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House, and it's the first Saturday of the month, so we're talking farm fresh, and we have Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, in studio with us, along with Duncan Farms. Our topic today is hot breakfast. What we try and do is connect whatever local commodities coming off our farms and ranches with you, the Arizona homeowner, so your food is fresh, local, and you support local agriculture. But before we get to Julie and Duncan Farms, we've got Arizona Farm Bureau President Steph Smallhouse on the line because she was in D.C. for this big, what was it, signing, Steph?
It was the signing by the president of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Folks call it the USMCA.
Now, I have seen headlines and heard about this all week long, but honestly, when we're preparing for a show, I usually can't stop and focus on every news story. So I might see a lot of headlines, but I don't always get a lot of detail. What does it mean for us?
Well, you're probably in the same boat as most folks, and I know that we usually talk on the show about local and local sourcing, but exports are vital to Arizona agriculture, and a lot of folks don't realize that, and especially during times of abundance like we have right now in our country, good economy, farmers and ranchers produce a lot of food, we're pretty efficient, and so exports are pretty important. So about 20% of a farmer's income comes from exports, and we ship out to about 70 different countries from Arizona ag products, and that's about 12% of our farm sales. So this new agreement with USMCA, extremely important to both Arizona but to the country as a whole. But just to jump in the details a little bit, so NAFTA was passed in 1994, and from the time that it passed, we went from selling about $9 billion to Mexico and Canada to increasing to about $38 billion. And so that means about a third of our ag products in the United States go to Mexico and about a third go to Canada. So just to stress how important the update of this agreement was. The USMCA maintains a tariff-free environment. So we kept that in place, which was good. We have truly free trade in between the three countries. But what happened with this agreement was that Canada has opened up unprecedented access for dairy. They've created a more fair playing field for wheat grading, which means they're going to grade our wheat the same that they grade their wheat, so they don't discriminate. And about 94% of the fresh beef market in Canada comes from the U.S. And so we grow wheat here. We have a big dairy industry, and we have a big beef industry in Arizona. So that's important for us. Mexico, we have about 83% of the fresh beef market in Mexico. Dairy has always been important in a significant market. About 60% of what's processed in Tempe goes to Mexico at the dairy plant. And then, of course, we've always had a lot of produce, fruits, and vegetables going back and forth across the border. And pork is a pretty important market as well.
Well, and pork's going to be a pretty important topic as we get into our hot breakfast. I mean, what's a good hot breakfast without some warm bacon? But these numbers are just mind-blowing to me. You said exports right now account for 25% of a farmer's income in Arizona. Did I catch that correctly?
Yeah, it's about 20%, and that's pretty general across the country. So pretty much agriculture across the board, we have about 20% of our income that comes from exports.
That's pretty significant. And the numbers you gave in the billions are just mind-boggling. And agriculture in Arizona is a $23 billion industry?
We're going to need a new number pretty soon. For instance, like in 2016, we shipped about $250 million worth of vegetables to Canada, about $76 million worth of fruit, about $5 million worth of dairy. And that's just Canada. So obviously we're shipping more to Mexico. So it's pretty significant for Arizona. The other thing is, you know, there's some complex things in these agreements that most people in the public don't understand, but it's worthy of talking about. There's these things called sanitary and phytosanitary standards. And basically, not to bore your listeners, but it's important because there's some countries that'll say, oh, well, we're not going to take your wheat because you use a certain herbicide. And we've just decided arbitrarily that we don't like that herbicide. And so it's not like a tariff, but it's not fair. And so in this agreement, we have modernized all those standards, so everything's science-based, transparent, and non-discriminatory. And so they can't be making false claims about our products. It also, for the first time ever in a U.S. agreement, trade agreement, it addresses biotechnology and makes sure that we're being fair on that. So, you know, there's a little more of the boring details, but it's a big deal to a farmer or rancher.
So when we're talking export, does that mean, you know, 20% of our export out of the country or across state line?
That's out of the country. 20 cents on every dollar for the farmer is dependent on being able to ship our product just cross-border Mexico and Canada.
And that other 80%, I left to assume it stays locally here, and that's what we spend the rest of the hour talking about, is connecting you, the listener, and your food to the local sources that produce them right here in Arizona. But as for this new agreement, what's next step?
Well, next step is Canada is expected to pass the agreement, and they'll be looking at it sometime in February or March. And then once they pass it, it'll be about 90 days before it comes into effect. So we'll have basically this new business with Canada and Mexico, and coupled with China, Japan, the EU, and South Korea, it's looking good for farmers and ranchers for 2020. So we're pretty excited about it.
Well, thanks for spending a little time with us this Saturday morning, and we'll let you get on with your ranching operations as we get on to our topic of hot breakfast.
Well, it sounds good. It always makes me hungry listening to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for providing beef to us.
Sure thing.
And I didn't get a hot breakfast this morning. Did you, Julie?
I did not get a hot breakfast, and I hear that Patty didn't get one either. So we're talking to you hungry, but with Patty's insights with food, I call her one of my Arizona foodies, we're going to be even more hungry. So then when we can have our breakfast today, it's going to be even better. But, you know, Stephanie's discussion about trade was so awesome. I want to say drop the mic. I don't know how we can do better than that, except that we have to talk about food, and it's important for us to talk also about the local market. So Patty, welcome.
Thank you, Julie. We're happy to be here.
Yes. And, you know, because you're with Duncan Family Farms and you've been embedded with that family for, I need to be careful how I said that, but you've been with the Duncan family for a long time now. How many years?
Almost 10 years.
10 years. And there's nobody better to do what you do. And I know they so appreciate all the work that you do for their farm. But give us an update of what Duncan Family Farms here in Arizona is doing and across the United States, basically.
So a lot going on. It always seems like we have a lot of irons in the fire, which is a good thing. So those of you who are just finding out about Duncan Family Farms, Arnett and Kathleen Duncan, Arnett actually is a fourth generation farmer here in the state of Arizona, and our farming operation is out in the West Valley. We're located in Goodyear, Buckeye area. And most of what we do is we grow baby tender leaf items, so all of the components that make up the blends for salads. We have our farm here in Goodyear, but we also farm in the Central Coast in California. We farm in Southern Oregon and in upstate New York. And the reason why we do that is we really like to have our operations geographically diverse for several reasons. It helps us make sure that we are consistently supplying our product to our customers. And it also gives us the ability to be closer to some of our customers and provide that product on a local or regional basis part of the year. And so our customers are really, when you're out buying salads and you have like the, you're seeing Taylor Farms and Earthbound and Organic Girl and Missionero, those are the customers that we're selling our product to.
Yeah. And the Duncan Family Farm, their traditions, their methods of farming, and they've been with us for so long. It's amazing what they're doing. And I'm excited to hear that they can, you know, go across the United States geographically and provide what they're providing for me, because I feel a little selfish if I can't get Duncan Family Farm grains into some other homes.
Yeah.
So that's really neat what you're doing. What's new?
Well, we have some exciting news coming up. So we have been working on a culinary herb program for the last few years, just, you know, R&Ding and then also distributing on a very small scale with a current customer of ours. But we are going to be launching a Duncan Family Farms brand probably May. So keep an eye out for that. We're hoping to, you know, be able to get that here in the local markets.
And it will be herbs.
It's all culinary herbs.
Okay.
So your chives, your dill, your rosemary, sage, those.
This is going to be something exciting, because just yesterday when I was meeting for lunch with one of my friends, she said, I wish that I had more information on, like, for example, local herbs. Do you know any farmers that are growing them? So you're going to solve her problem. She really likes to experiment with herbs, add it to her flavors. It really enhances her food. So,
absolutely.
I wish I could have told her that yesterday. So the whole array of herbs the family will be growing.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
And what else? What else is new?
Well, you know, we've got some broccoli, cauliflower that's coming on. A lot of that is going in for processing as far as, you know, into blends and salads and again, you know, going under our customers' labels. But we, with our geographic diversity, we are looking at, you know, how we can further diversify our portfolio and bring new items to market. So, but right now the herbs are big news.
That's neat. When you say diversify your portfolio, you're not talking about finances, you're talking about crops. One time I said that to an acquaintance. I said, you know, farmers are always looking at how to diversify their portfolios. Well, man, they must be amazing financers. And I said, well, some of them are, but it's the crop portfolio.
Correct.
And the
yes.
Duncan family has always done that. Real quickly, what started it? I love the start of where you guys are now from where you were before.
Well, Kathleen and Arnett started out as small-scale producers. They really focused on, they took their combined passions, and Kathleen is education, Arnett is farming, and more specifically, really, really interested in soil health and how you build up soils, and when you're organic farmers, it's extremely important, right? It's important across the board for all farmers, but, you know, I mean, it's what we have to just make sure mm-hmm. the soil is very healthy to make sure the plants grow healthy.
Right.
But they combined both of their passions and had education outreach. So back in the 80s, even before, you know, people were really all over this, hey, shake the hand of your farmer, know where your food comes from. Kathleen and Arnett saw that people didn't really know where their food came from, and ag was really getting kind of a bad rap. And they wanted to educate people on the benefits of having farms in your community. And they were extremely successful with that part of the operation. And unfortunately, we had to close that down.
It was the agritourism.
Mm-hmm. And we were probably, I want to say we got up to 35 to 40,000 visitors coming through, mostly children that would come through and learn about where their food was coming from and how it was grown.
In a given season, correct?
Correct. And, you know, people remember us from that.
Right.
They remember us from that. So
that's neat. We had fun. I went there myself.